Chapter 21, Matthew 21. I know it is kind of late, so I'll try not to keep you long. But Matthew 21, we're going to deal with the portion of Scripture here where Jesus goes into the temple and is displeased with what he finds in there and overturns the tables and throws the money changers out. And so what I would call when God cleans house, you know, and we think of that, you know, the temple in the Old Testament was the place that God met with His people. It was God's house. And in the New Testament, you and I are the temple of God. And so we would draw a parallel there to, you know, just as God, because of sin and wrongdoing in the Old Testament temple, cleaned house, He will do that with you and I as His temples today. God don't necessarily move out. If we're truly born again, converted, and saved, we understand that we cannot lose our salvation. So if our house is dirty and filled with things that shouldn't be in sin, God won't move out. You know what God will do? He'll clean house. And may we clean our own houses so God don't have to. Don't make God do what we should do. And I say we when I say that. So let's look here at Matthew 21, verses 12 through 16. And it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." So we understand what was going on here, you know, that the Lord goes into, you know, the temple, and He says here in verse 12 that Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. In the Old Testament times, they would bring their tithe, they would bring their money to the temple. But the Roman money wasn't accepted in the temple. So much like when we would go to a foreign country and have to go through an exchange and exchange American currency for a foreign currency, is what they would have to do there in the temple. But what some of these money changers were doing, rather than you giving them a dollar and them giving you a dollar, they were doing a dollar for a dollar 15. They were taking the money off the top and making a profit out of it, making money on the people of God that were trying to live in a way pleasing to God. Those people were trying to serve the Lord, trying to come to the place that God would meet with them, and trying to pay their tithe as God had commanded them to do. And you had some people in there, religious people, that were in there that were trying to make gain off that. They were trying to steal in one form from the people of God. And it displeased the Lord, and the Lord threw them out of there. And He says here, And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And so here they were selling merchandise. There's nothing wrong with Christian people being in business and different things, but that's not what we come to the house of God for. We come here to worship God and to glorify God. You know, I may talk to you about, hey, if you need something that I could do for you, or someone else that offers something that you would need, there's nothing wrong with talking about that and doing business with one another, but that's not the purpose why we meet here tonight. I don't come here to make money. You don't come here to make money. We come here to worship God. And if we don't, look out. And in our own lives, a little more personal, just away from the church, but in our own lives, even in a Christian's life, yes, we are instructed to work. Men are given the responsibility to provide for their families. We know what the Scripture says. A man that doesn't do that, what is he? He's worse than an infidel, the Scripture says. But our purpose in life is not just to go to work and make money and live a good life. Our purpose in making money is that we can serve the Lord with what we make, taking care of our family and using that money to glorify God in it. And there's too many people that their purpose, their sole purpose in life, and some good people, hard-working people, but it's to make as much money as they can. But one day, you know what? That money's not going to profit them, and it's not going to profit you. If money becomes your God, one day you'll lose your God. When you die, you don't take it with you. And this thing displeased the Lord, and He overthrew the table, threw those people out. And as I said, you and I are the temple of God. In the Old Testament, the temple was only a pattern of the believer. These things that we have in spiritual lessons go far beyond Jewish rituals. You know, the Old Testament was all pictorial of Jesus Christ. It was all a picture of Him. It was patterns, types. The temple wasn't just, this great building and beautiful place, although it was that in one regard, but it was more than just that. It was a picture of better things to come, and Jesus Christ being those better things. And someone said that the Old Testament, God has a temple for His people, but in the New Testament, God has a people for His temple. Look in 1 Corinthians 6, a familiar passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 19 of 1 Corinthians 6 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You and I this evening that are here, that profess Christ to be our Lord, that profess to be saved, to be born again, and if that is true, you know what? We don't belong to ourselves. Christ has paid for us there on the cross of Calvary. He gave His very blood, His very life for you and I. And it's what He says here. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We belong to the Lord. Therefore, we ought to be yielded to the Lord and being used of God. And as I said, God will clean house, do a cleansing work on you and I if we are truly His. God won't reside in a dirty house. He won't move out, thank the Lord, but He will clean house. So, three short points, and we'll try to get out of here. But number one, the profaning of the temple. And as I told you in the introduction about what the money changers were doing, they had made the house of God in the Old Testament a den of thieves. And He said, "It is written, my house is to be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves." You know what? Our house, our physical bodies, is the place that Jesus Christ resides. We have the Spirit of God living in us, and it should be a place of prayer. It should be a place of praise. It should be a place that we use to glorify God. Not a den of thieves. You know, our purpose is to glorify God in our spirit and in our body, as we've just read here in 1 Corinthians 6. You know, our body is the temple of God, and we're to glorify God through our body and through our spirit. And our body is the means which we express what is in the spirit and the body. You know, some people will say, "Well, you don't know what's in my heart." Well, you watch a person's actions, you will see what's in their mind and what's in their heart. What goeth into the mouth is what comes out. And what we put in is what comes out. So what comes out of a person's life, you can tell what's on their heart and on their mind. And so we express through the body, what we should express through our body, actions to glorify our Lord. Our lives are to be a perpetual glorifying to God. And secondly, the purging of the temple. Look in verse 12, "And Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." You know, the Scripture tells us that God is a God of order. So it almost sounds contrary to what's going on here, you know, that he likes things done, what, decently and in order is what the Scripture says. But what did he come, when Jesus arrived, what did he do? He took things that were in order and made chaos out of it because it wasn't done the way he said to be done. You know what he'll do in mine in your life sometime if we're living in a way that's displeasing to him? He'll allow chaos. He'll allow disorder to come in our lives. But he will purge our temples. Jesus will not live in a dirty... Look in John 2. John chapter 2. Verse number 15. Let's back up just a little bit for context sake, for back to verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, and he and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the Scripture and the word that Jesus said unto them. But you notice in verse 15, it said when he had made a scourge of small cords, he took that, just, you know, you all remember either getting a switch and getting your kids, or being the one, your parents going and pulling a switch off the tree and straightening you up when you got out of line. That's what the Lord did here in the Old Testament. And that's what He does to His children. He will purge the temple. And one way He will do it is through chastisement, through discipline. One way God purges the temple, just as He took these small cords, the Lord did, and run them out of there, with you and I as His children today, we are the temple of God. He will do that through chastisement. Hebrews 12, a familiar passage, I'm sure, to most here, if not all. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5. Scripture says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are ye all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. So we don't relish in chastisement. We don't relish in the Lord disciplining us. It's never pleasant or fun. But you know, you can take comfort in knowing that He's doing that because He loves you, because you're one of His. If you can live how you choose to live and do what you want to do and live in ways contrary to the Scripture, and there's no chastisement, there's no discipline in your life from the Lord, you need to make your calling and election sure. You need to see that you're one of His, because He says all His children will be partakers of this. And if you don't have chastisement in your life when you do wrong from the Lord, now the Lord is gracious and merciful. He doesn't necessarily discipline us for every little action we do. If He did, you know, most of us would never get out of the woodshed, if you will. But the point being is, if you can just go live like the world and there's no discipline from the Lord, it's a sign that you've never been converted. You may just be religious or may just be a false convert. We need to make our calling and election sure. Jesus will chastise those He loves. He only chastises those that belong to Him. Every believer will experience this, is what the Scripture says. The purpose of this is not for punishment. Our sins were paid for there on the cross. The purpose is that we may be made holy. And what does He say? Be ye holy for what? I am holy. The purpose of chastisement is to make us more like Jesus Christ, to conform us to His image. It's not disciplining us and punishing us, if you will, for our sins. Our sins were put upon Christ, but it's to make us more like Him. And He will, in Hebrews, right there, you're in Hebrews 12, maybe still, look at verse 10 and verse 11. Or we'll just start in verse 9 where we left. Furthermore, if we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So, you see, the Lord chastens us because He loves us. You know, somebody said that the Lord may love you how you are, but He loves us too much to leave us how we are, you know. And, you know, our children, you know, I love them just as much when they're being disobedient as I do when they're being obedient. But you still discipline them. You still chastise them. You still spank them. You still, you know, correct that. Why? Because I love them too much to allow them to continue to do that and to turn out that way. We love our children. We love people. We correct them. The Lord loves His children. He corrects them. So He will purge our temples through chastisement. But He also will purge us, as I mentioned earlier, by disruption. Just as He went in and disrupted the way things were going in the temple, sometimes the Lord will send things in our lives to disrupt our lives, to get our attention. So, you know, it doesn't always mean if there's things going wrong in our lives that there's sin in our lives. But that's the first place we should start. Say, Lord, hey, are You trying to get my attention? Is there something that I am doing or have done that's been displeasing to You? Because the Lord will cause a disruption in your life to purge that shouldn't be in our lives. He will turn over our tables. He loves us too much to see us succeed in our sin. You know, I thank the Lord that sometimes in my life, now, it wasn't pleasant when it happened in those moments that He disrupted my life. He turned over the tables. There was things turned upside down in my life. But if He hadn't, the path I would have continued on wouldn't have been good. And I wouldn't have been more like Christ. I'd have been more unlike Christ. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord does that in our lives to get our attention. But lastly, the purpose of the temple. We know in the Old Testament several things with the temple, but we're talking about tonight, you and I being the temple of God. And just as He said, as it is written, my house is to what? Be called a house of what? Prayer. Our temples, our bodies, our lives ought to be a place of prayer as a Christian. You know, you think about the Old Testament temple. You remember the incense that they would burn that would go up? This depicts our prayers rising continually to God as they would burn that incense continually in the temple in the Old Testament. As that incense would go up into the heavens, that is depictive of our prayers that should be doing that. They should be continually going up to our Lord. And if you and I don't have our prayer life going continually to the Lord, something's wrong. We need revival. We need to get right. If our prayer life, it's a good gauge of where you're at spiritually, your prayer life. You can think that you're really walking with the Lord or you're doing well, but how's your prayer life? It's a good gauge to where you're at in relationship to the Lord. Not as far as your relationship with the Lord, but your fellowship with the Lord. That this body, this temple, ought to be a place of prayer. We won't turn to it, but there's several scriptures that we could go to. I think of it, you know, we should be continually in prayer. And you say, well, Brother Josh, we have to sleep, we have to do this and that. When Paul said, you know, pray without ceasing, he doesn't mean that that's all you do, but you should stay in a constant frame of mind of prayer. I think of it like a mother. For example, Rebecca, I've seen her be just so exhausted, you know, taking care of the little ones. And she just finally, once she got them asleep, she'd go to sleep. You could slam the doors. You could have the TV. Me and Jordis and Caitlin could be making a lot of noise. And she wouldn't, you know, she wouldn't move. But the second Kinsley whined just a little, she was up looking at her. That's the way we should be, even, you know, with the Lord. Our prayer life should be that sensitive to the Lord. So we should, Philippians 4:6, you know, says that we should be anxious over nothing, but in prayer and supplication over what? Everything. That we should be praying about everything. And God puts it up on our heart to pray for people, we should do so. And we are saved. One of the reasons we're saved is to be a house of prayer. But not only should the temple be a place of prayer, it should be a place of power. And you think about it. What greater power has been demonstrated than Jesus Christ laying His life down there on the cross, taking it up three days later, and saving unworthy souls through that? You know that that's a greater work than creation, even when you think of it, because he in creation he took nothing and made something. In salvation he took something that was vile, bad, and made it good, made it pleasing unto the Lord. Not only that, in creation, what did the Lord do? What did God do? What did He have to do to create the earth? He spoke. That was it. But in order for souls to be saved, what happened? He didn't just speak. He came, lived here for 32, 33 years, lived the perfect life, and He died. That's right, Wayne. He died and laid that life down. 3 days later, took it up. It wasn't just something He spoke. That, you know, in salvation is one of the greatest demonstration of power that this world will ever see of a soul. You know, none of us, we've experienced it. We can tell others what took place in our lives, but we fully can't comprehend what all God has done in our lives. But our temples ought to be a place of power, a place of prayer, and thirdly, a place of praise. When your house becomes a place of prayer and power, by that very fact, it will become a place of praise. When we get our prayer life right, we start to experience the power of God on our lives, you won't be able to help but praising the Lord for it. But you know, the problem is, and I've said this before, we think of a temple, we think of a house. I think of ladies, you know. If they got guests coming over, what's one of the first things they do? Straighten up the house, clean house. I even think I heard, I didn't catch, maybe I shouldn't say it because I didn't catch enough of the conversation, but I think I heard Sarah even mention last night that she was cleaning a little bit, or maybe had changed her sheets at her house. But you think of cleaning house, our lives should be clean in the regard that people should see Christ through us. But many times our house is not in order. And when people see us, they talk to us, they don't see Christ. They see much of the world. They see much of the same thing. It shouldn't be like that. You think about windows. What do windows do? They let in light. Our lives ought to be showing the light of Jesus Christ within us. The Holy Spirit that resides in us. If people meet you, do they know? And you shouldn't have to have a t-shirt. There's nothing wrong with wearing a Christian t-shirt. But we don't need necessarily a Christian t-shirt that says, I'm a Christian. Or we shouldn't even really have to tell somebody that. They should be able to be around us and know that something's different about that person. That the Spirit of God resides in there. But you know, so many times I'm afraid that, and I say with my life, it's the only one I can really relate to. But many times I'm afraid that I know the Holy Spirit resides within me. I know that I've been converted. I know that I've been born again. But we get so much clutter of the things of this life that the Holy Spirit kind of gets pushed into the corner. And when people meet us, we're quick to talk about news, talk about politics, talk about sports, talk about all these other things, but not about the things of the Lord. That ought not to be with a Christian. There's nothing wrong with talking about those other things. But when people come in to your house, you know, they should be able to maneuver through it, walk through it, and see in your physical house. You know, you remove, Rebecca's really good at it. I will say that, and I don't say that just to boast. But really, if it wasn't for her, I'd have the house so full of junk and different things, I would clutter it up. But she, you know, she can't stand clutter, so she gets it out of there. You know what? That's what needs to happen on a daily basis with you and I. It's a personal temple of God. We need to clean house. Because like I said in the introduction, let us clean house so God don't have to. Because He will. Those whom He loveth, He what? He chasteneth. He scourgeth. He will clean house. Don't make the Lord do what we should do. His house should be a place of prayer. It should be a place of power, and it should be a place of praise. And it, you know, and if we're truly walking with the Lord, as I said just a moment ago, we can't help but praise the Lord for that. And I don't claim to do that. I fall far short of that. But I do remember just this afternoon when I let that young man James out of my truck, just thanking the Lord for the opportunity to meet somebody, to talk to him about the things of the Lord. And I pray that God will... I don't really care that if God uses me or uses someone else, but I pray that God will do a work in that young man's life and turn his life around. And if that means his table's getting turned over again, then so be it. You know what? If you think about it, you go back to your salvation experience, for the lack of better words, but when the Lord saved you, I think in most cases it may be a little different circumstances, but you would say that God, for the most part, maybe turns your tables over. He lets us hit bottom so we'll look up. Tonight, as Christians, as believers, as members of New Life Baptist Church, may God not have to come in and overturn the tables. May we not make this temple a house of thieves, a den of thieves. But may we be praying, exhibiting the power of God and praising the Lord for what He's done in our life. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, then you can't say that your house is the temple of God, because He resides in His children. But you can know that by simply putting your faith and trust in Him. So I'd ask you tonight, what is the most important thing to you right now? What is the goal, your goal in life? What is my goal? What is our desires? They should be to glorify, to serve the Lord, and to bring honor to Him. But if anything else goes in those slots, then we need to repent, whether it's in salvation or as a Christian, repenting and get right. Don't make... And I say, you know, when you preach, this scares me. It really does at times. Because you know what? I've experienced, Brother Danny, in the little bit of preaching I've did. You study, you prepare for something, you preach, and then a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, and you realize that sermon was for you. And it scares me when I think of these things. May I not make God do what Josh Wilson needs to do. And may you take inventory of your house. How is your house tonight? Is it clean? Without the blood of Jesus Christ, your house cannot be clean. If you don't know Him personally, no matter how good a person, no matter what you can put in there, your house is unclean and unfit. With the blood of Christ, our houses are clean, but our temples should be a place of prayer, a place of praise, and a place of power. And if not, may we take time to get that right tonight. Brother Danny, if you'd dismiss us in a word of prayer, please.